Amen. Praise the Lord. It would seem that the enemy is fighting. I keep hearing that. It seems to be the reoccurring theme. That must mean the brink of something, the verge of something great. And this is the time that we want to dig in. We want to fight harder than we've ever fought before. Praise God. I know the enemy's definitely been fighting my own family. My eldest daughter's been fighting allergies. I've been fighting the same fight as well. And I'm believing by faith that I'm healed, that she's healed. I'm standing for victory today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 68. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 2. And this is nothing deep or profound, just something I felt in my spirit to share with all of you. I felt that I wanted to encourage you. As has already been stated, that we are fighting. And I want to encourage you and equip you in your fight against the enemy. Psalm 68 verse 1 says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." My main title for this message is taken from verse 1, which is simply says, "Let God arise." Let God arise. We're going to do that this afternoon. We're going to let God arise. Hallelujah. We're going to let him fight the battle. He's already won the victory. We just need to get in agreement with what he has already won. And I believe today we're going to see some scattering of some devils, amen, that have been surrounding us today. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, you said in your word to submit yourselves, therefore, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right now, Lord Jesus, as we prepare to go to war against our enemy, we surrender and submit ourselves first to you. That by surrendering to you, God, our enemy must surrender also to you. We surrender, oh God, and give everything over into your hands. There is nothing that is too hard for you, nothing beyond your capability. God, there is no enemy that is too difficult that you cannot vanquish or defeat. There is no problem too complex that you do not already have the answer for. And we commend the course of this service and of this message into your hands. Father, use me to speak your word with clarity and with power. God, that those that would hear my voice and hear your word would be set free, would be delivered. I yield myself to your spirit. Speak through me only as you can. Have your way in this house. God, we pray for the scattering, the shattering, the dispersing of every enemy that is assembled and arrayed itself against us, that we might stand upon the rock of our salvation and proudly and loudly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We declare right now victory in this house, victory over every enemy and every assault of the enemy. We thank you and bless you, O God, in expectancy for what you're going to perform today. We give you all the praise and the glory, and in Jesus' name, let the church, the living God, say amen. You may be seated. I want to try and answer two questions, and like I said, I won't be before you for very long. What does it mean for God to arise? And secondly, how is the enemy scattered? In our scripture text in Psalm 68, verse 1, where it says, "Let God arise," the Hebrew word there for arise means to stand, to stood or stand up, to arise, to raise, establish, to stand, perform, confirm. Again, set, accomplish, abide, or to continue. When that we're using that word, it can mean all of those things. In this particular text, that the psalmist, which is David, he is talking about a military campaign. He is talking about, God, we need you to rise up and to fight and get in the midst of this battle, because the conflict that we're in cannot be won by human means. We have exhausted all human capability. All plans of man have failed. All other weapons that we've used to disperse this enemy has failed. We need you, O God, to stand up. Now, what's very interesting is the primary position that God is in a seating position. Whenever God is depicted in heaven, he is seated in his throne. In Isaiah 66, verse 1, it says that the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. That the heavens is the place where God is seated in a position of authority and in a position of power. But what David is asking is, God, I don't want you just to sit there. I need you to stand up. I need you to interact. I need you to fight on my behalf. This word kum, which is the Hebrew word that we have here in Psalm 68, the very first time we see it being used is actually in a violent manner. In Genesis 4:8, we all know the story of Cain and Abel, that Cain was jealous of the offering that Abel had offered before God, and so that Cain desired to murder his brother. Genesis 4:8 says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose, there's that Hebrew word kum, up against Abel his brother and slew him. That the very first time we see this word of being, of rising up, of standing up, was in hostility towards a perceived adversary and a perceived enemy. And David, when he is writing this psalm, is saying, I am being confronted with enemies so amazing and so much in number that the only thing that can deliver me out of this is God standing up. And the thing is, that's all really God has to do for the most part, because when God stands up, it incurs such fear and intimidation from every devil that's around us that they start to back off. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 33, verse 3, at the noise of the tumult of the people fled, at the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. Just by God standing up from his seat, said, I'm about to get into this mess, that makes the devil tremble. It starts to get them to drive back. In the same sense that when God is standing up, God is rising up. It is analogous to the sun rising over the horizon. That as the sun crests over the horizon, the darkness of night must flee and get away. As the higher that the sun rises in the sky, the further away the darkness must disperse and go away. In the same sense, we want God to rise up in our lives to disperse the darkness, to cause the darkness and the fear to tremble in of itself. Now, this quotation, let God arise, this is not something that David himself wrote. This is actually a quotation from something Moses said. Look in Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, when they went out of the camp, and it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. So the context of this verse is that the children of Israel have just been delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. They're on now en route right now to the promised land. And as they are traveling through the wilderness, they are constantly being bombarded, assaulted, and assailed by a plethora of different enemies, such as the Amalekites, who are attacking them. They are surrounded as they're making their way to the promised land. They haven't even gotten to the promised land yet. They're still in the wilderness, and enemies are attacking. Every time they got up to move closer to their destiny, they were being assaulted by some sort of enemy or by some sort of problem. So then when Moses saw the Ark of the Covenant getting up to move to the next location closer to their destiny, Moses said, God, let our enemies be scattered, because there's no way we're going to make it from point A to point B unless you intervene, unless you take care of the adversary. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. This message is for someone who is being surrounded by enemies. You are being hounded by a problem, and it is intimidating you. It is taunting you. It is beating you down and trying to make you feel like there is no hope for you. It feels like it's going to get the last laugh. I want to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. In 2 Samuel 16, the Bible tells the story of the rebellion of David's son Absalom. Absalom was very unhappy with his father in dealing with the situation that happened with his sister Tamar, who was raped by his brother. And so the fact of the matter is, Absalom wanted to rebel against King David. He then launched a rebellion, a successful rebellion, where he was able to get the hearts of the children of Israel. And David is now fleeing from his own house, from his own son. As he is fleeing and running away, an old enemy by the name of Shimei, who was of the house of Saul. And if you know the story, that King David, he had taken the throne of Saul because of Saul's sin. Shimei saw that this was a judgment against David, and that he began to curse David and began to make fun of him. It says in 2 Samuel 16:13, "And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust." You might be fighting an enemy. Right now you're in a situation where you're at your worst and everything is falling apart, and the enemy's throwing stones at you and cursing you, and he's casting up dust. But I want to let the enemy know, just wait till the dust settles. Because when the dust settles, and after you've done cursing and throwing stones at me and condemning me, when all is said and done, I'm going to be the one with the victory, because God is on my side. Don't let Shimei depress you with him throwing stones and cursing you and casting up dust. The dust is going to settle. And when it settles, you're going to be the one begging for mercy. And that's exactly what happened. Now look at Psalm 3. Psalm 3, David is writing about his experience fleeing from Absalom. His own son is turned against him. The kingdom is surrounding him. And now he feels like everything is falling apart. Psalm 3, verse 1. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Selah. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." That even though I'm surrounded by enemies, and the enemy's doing everything he can to depress me and to get me to get down, God is going to arise and is going to scatter my enemies. He said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." I want you to understand something, that if you're surrounded, guess what? You should be encouraged. There was a lieutenant general in the United States Marine Corps. His name was Lewis Chesty Puller. And this, you guys should do some research on this guy. He's the most decorated Marine in United States Marine Corps history. And he was constantly put in these impossible situations where he was outgunned and surrounded and outmatched. I want you to listen to this quote that he said when he was surrounded. He was surrounded by 10 divisions of Chinese soldiers. There was no escape. This is what he said. "They are in front of us. They are behind us, and we are flanked on both sides by an enemy that outnumbers us 29 to 1. They can't get away from us now. Great, now we can shoot at them from every direction." If I'm surrounded, that means I can shoot in any direction and not miss my target. Do you understand his attitude? "Great, now I've got all of you together. Now I can beat you at one time. Thank you for surrounding me. You've just set yourself up for the greatest triumph that's going to happen in your life when you're being surrounded by enemies. I can shoot in any direction and I'm going to hit a devil. That's good news to me." In the battle of Chosen, the Chosen Reservoir, he said, "We've been looking for the enemy for some time now. We finally found him. We're surrounded." That simplifies things. I don't have to go search out the devil. He's right there. Now I can punch him in the face without having to work too hard. Change your attitude. Do you not understand who lives inside of you? The God of all creation is inside of your heart, and he has the ability to overcome any adversary. God wants to scatter your enemies. Back to my main text in Psalm 68:2. He says, "As smoke is driven away, so drive them away." How does God scatter our enemies? He does it in the same sense that smoke is driven away. How is smoke driven away? Whenever there's smoke that's in an area, the way that it's removed from the area is by the wind. It's by the movement of air that separates the particulates from the water vapor, and the water vapor evaporates, and it becomes dispersed. It becomes scattered. And what we need right now is the Holy Spirit's wind to blow on us, to scatter every devil. The enemy is smoking in your face, trying to make things murky and unclear that you cannot see. That's okay. Let's turn on the Holy Ghost fan and blow this thing out of the way. When Jesus looked at the apostles, he says in John chapter 20, verse 21, he blew on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Because he was blowing away all the smoke and all the nastiness that the enemy was trying to put on them. Psalm 1, verse 4 says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." That the Bible describes believers in Christ like being like the wheat, and also those that are not in Christ like the chaff. And that the chaff and the wheat are combined together, or they're by each other. But what happens when we want to separate the wheat from the chaff, the bad parts of the wheat that's unedible, all we do is we throw it up in the air and the wind catches the chaff, the things that are bad, and blows it away. The wheat which has substance, the wheat that has a lot of force in it, it falls right back down to the ground, back to where we want it to be. And what God is wanting to do is God wanted to throw you up in the wind where the Spirit is blowing, and blow off all the fakers and all the deniers and all the slanderers off of you, and blow them away, because God is arising. As the smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Now, as wax, it says, melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. That in the same way that wax is melted, God wants the enemies of his kingdom to be scattered. Now, here's what's very interesting. In Roman times, whenever they used to make sculptures, they'd make a sculpture of an emperor or a goddess. They would take marble and they would, you know, form it. They'd, you know, break it away and mold it into an image. But sometimes the sculptor would make a mistake. And when they'd make a mistake, they didn't want to start all over again. So what they would do is that they would get wax and they'd put it on the hole or the chip where it was, and they'd put that in the spot and make it look like marble and make it look like the figure. And then they would give it to the customer or whoever wanted the figure. The thing is, though, and if you had a sculpture that it was partly made out of wax, if it was out in the sun, what would happen is the wax, the part of it, would start to melt and it would look a big mess. And so what people would ask is, they would ask the one who molded the sculpture, they would ask, is it sincera, which means without wax? It's where we get the word sincere from. Whenever you're sincere, there ought to be nothing fake on you that melts off when you get under pressure. And maybe you've got some devils on you like wax. But God is telling you, I want to arise in you. Turn up the heat of the Holy Ghost inside of you. And I want to remove the insincere things that are in your life. The things that don't belong. Let it melt like wax before the fire of God. God wants to melt it like wax. All the fakes, all the phonies, all the things that's part of us that doesn't belong, all that's contrary, that's an enemy of God, God wants to melt it like wax. God is saying, I want to arise in you so that your enemies can be scattered. Let them flee before him in the name of Jesus. Now, how do we enable this? How do we enable God to arise? I want to turn to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. This is my last verse, and I'm out. I told you to be quick. But I believe God wants to arise in your heart. In 2 Chronicles 20, the Bible tells the story of Jehoshaphat. And he was in a very dire situation. He was surrounded by three different armies. And there was no hope that was there for him. He thought he was toast. He was done. And he began to inquire the Lord as to what he should do to combat this. And his army was not strong enough to fight against three different armies that were surrounding him. And so the Lord gives him the answer. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. That as they began to praise God. Now here's what's ridiculous about this situation, okay? You're surrounded by three very formidable adversaries, three armies, were surrounding your enemy. You would think you'd want to send in the Navy SEALs or the Marines or the Army or the Air Force. But no, God said, don't send in your military, send in the praise team. That sounds insane. But God just said, don't worry, just as you begin to praise me, that lifts me up. And as I stand up, it causes the enemy to be scattered. And as they begin to praise God and worship God, the Bible said that the enemies got so confused, they started killing each other. Not an arrow was shot, not a sword slung, not a punch thrown. God fought the battle for them just because he stood up. And God is saying right now, if you would praise me, if you'd stir up the gift, if you'd stand on my word, I'll fight the battle for you. I'll scatter the enemy for you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. I told you it wasn't going to be long. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Let's send the praise team over to Afghanistan or Iraq or some other place. That's all they did. They just sent the praise team. And as God was lifted up, as God was being elevated, it caused the enemies to be scattered. As smoke is driven away, so drieth them away. As wax melt the fire. God, is there any wax parts on me? Is there any wax that's attached to my body, God, that's attached to my spirit? God, melt it. Get rid of it. I want to be sincere. I want to be without wax, without anything fake or phony. I want to be completely clean. If you're surrounded by enemies today, God wants to liberate you. And all you need to do is just enable God to arise in you. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. If you've been born again, the power is in you. And you just need to stir up the gift and allow him to rise. And it's going to cause the enemy to be scattered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just do that right now? Why don't we begin to worship him? You're surrounded by enemies. You're surrounded on the left, on the right, in front of you, behind you. That's okay. You're in the right position. Because now you can aim anywhere and hit your target. You can praise God in any direction. You can quote a scripture in any direction. And you're going to hit the devil square in the nose. Don't look at it as an opportunity for defeat, but look at it as an opportunity for victory. Because God always causes us to triumph. Holler right now, why don't we begin to worship him and lift him up? Thank you, Lord. God, you fight my battles. You arise, scatter every enemy. Every enemy that's contrary to you. Every enemy that's contrary to your word. Contrary to your spirit. Contrary to your will. We scatter it right now in the name of Jesus. We command it to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Every sickness and disease. Every spirit of anxiety and depression. We command it to scatter right now. We will not be intimidated by the attacks of the enemy. We're going to stand on the word of God. We're going to stand on the word of God and speak the goodness of God in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Holy Spirit, begin to blow in this house. Blow away the smoke of the enemy. Melt the wax of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Melt it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command victory right now in Jesus' name. We command deliverance in Jesus' name. We declare right now emancipation from slavery of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Get your victory. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. God is on your side. What shall we say to these things that have come before us? Who can be against us? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God.